Roger Williams University is hosting a crisis management seminar on May 3rd at their Providence campus. Crises, whether a natural disaster, cyber attack, or financial instability, can have severe repercussions if not handled properly. This is where crisis management plays a pivotal role. Join Roger Williams MBA students and expert speakers to learn how to prepare for the unexpected. The program is totally free and open to the public. You can register online at rwu.edu/events/crisis-management-symposium.
Discover over 100 episodes of Bartholomew Town on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Bartholomew Town Podcast.
Welcome in to another edition of the Bartholomew Town Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Bartholomew. On today's episode, a look at some youth-oriented nonprofits in Providence with Branford Davis of the John Hope Settlement House and Joelle Gilbert of Community Cafe. So through this episode, I really learned a lot about the ways that the nonprofit sector fills a lot of the gaps in public education today here in Rhode Island, and I'm sure this can be translated into a national conversation. Gaps like, opportunities for tutoring, and don't get me wrong, these opportunities exist inside the confines of public and private school all around the state, but maybe not enough. So it's important to look at the entire picture, I guess, when we're talking about education, the educational infrastructure, and the youth support base that's out there. And there's a lot of nonprofits that and organizations of all sorts and stripes that I've come into contact with here in Providence, in Newport, South County, Northwest Rhode Island, wherever it may be. And it's really interesting when you get a sense of the roles that many of the leadership or mentors within those programs play in kids' lives. And yeah, it makes sense that while we have challenges in our public educational infrastructure, particularly here in Providence and look all around the state, we know that. We've seen the numbers and we can feel it as well that we need to sort of take charge and move in a new direction. But I really enjoyed this conversation because it was enlightening to where we're doing things right and where we can continue to invest our energy. Again, this isn't to suggest that the public sector, public schools, et cetera, are incapable of offering these sorts of services on their own. And oftentimes they do. But at the same time, there's no question that these community-based nonprofit / private sector organizations that operate in an after-school capacity add a tremendous amount of value to the educational picture as a whole. And as you'll hear in a matter of moments in our roundtable discussion, contribute to lasting community relationships. Okay, many of you listeners know that I am very bullish on Newport as a year-round destination for Southern New Englanders, and a truly fun way to kick off the holiday season is with the Newport Illuminated Boat Parade and Block Party at historic Bowen's Wharf on Friday, November 29th. Now, it all starts at 4 p.m. with the boat parade itself, live Caribbean-style holiday tunes, look out for the steel drum, and an all-around great vibe. All of the locally owned shops and restaurants of historic Bowen's Wharf will be open, so why not make an evening of it? But make sure if you want to have dinner, you make a reservation early, because by the way, this is a free event. It happens rain or shine, the 2019 Newport Illuminated Boat Parade and Block Party at historic Bowen's Wharf, Friday, November 29th. And a great way that you can support the pod is to subscribe, rate, and review on your preferred podcast app. All right, let's meet today's panelists.
Branford Davis. I'm from John Hope Settlement House. I'm the new executive director. John Hope, you know, we do everything from providing activities and programs for youth, adults, families. We have an early learning child care center.
I'm Joel Gilbert, and I'm with the Community Cafe. We're in the north end of Providence, serving the community there.
So there's a real need. I mean, when we talk about Providence, there's definitely within the schools, outside of the schools, there's different conversations. They overlap sometimes. Sometimes they don't. Irregardless of anyone's impression of the Providence school system from the outside or from here in Providence, there's a definitive need for spaces to just simply facilitate activities and growth outside of school hours. And so each of you are kind of in a prime position to do that and have been in some ways. Can we talk about some of the specific programs, whether it's on the basketball floor or
in the arts or even theoretical things that are happening right now and that you're kind of working to make happen here in Providence?
So right now, some of the things that we have going on is we have Camp Arrow, which Camp Arrow is a house name basketball program. So not only do we have that, but now we've been able to do basketball clinics. We most recently had a community day where we had a youth clinic. We had the police versus the fire department battle each other on the basketball court.
Who won?
Yeah. The firefighters.
Yeah, look out.
I know, right? We gave away over 100 book bags with school supplies. There was about 400 people that was just able to come in and out. You know, so we're looking at that as one of the small steps, just bringing, once again, the community back, opening up the space. It's a need, just as you were saying. I know a few years ago, actually about 5-7 years ago, the city of Providence took a lot of the funding that was inside of recreational centers. You look at a lot of the funding that was lost inside of the public school department, and as 21st century programming came in, it was good, but it didn't supply nor did it really help all the students in different demographics. So I think that's where community centers and programs that what we're trying to do is be able to attract and build to those students that aren't going to after school programs, that don't have the same opportunity as others. You know, so some of the other programs, we're going to be starting a DJ class, you know. So
really? That's awesome, man.
Youth from the age of about 14 to 18 have the opportunity to learn how to DJ, learn how to do Photoshop. It's really more about entertainment, you know, so learning how to be on a podcast, you know, how to log on and do online radio. You know, we have a booth, so, and hopefully turn that to a community booth, so now people, anybody that's interested in recording can have the opportunity to go inside the booth, get their lyrics, get their vocals mastered, but also you can have internships from that. So now connecting with high schools that that do internships, that have like the Met, that has a big picture learning aspect to it. So I think a lot of the programs that we're trying to do is really just trying to build the youth, build the community, reunite. We all are familiar with, as you was mentioning before, with the Providence public school system and the lack and the need of programming, but also of role models. You know, so I think out of this, out of our programming, out of our community center, this is another aspect to just build the youth into a formable and participating citizens.
That's awesome. Yeah, and there's also the facilities aspect of it. I mean, this is obviously like a really specific example, but I think back to the Bud Long pool deal, Mayor Fung earlier this year in Cranston, making essentially a rule that if you're not from Cranston, basically if you're from Providence, don't ride your bike down here and come to our pool. And then
correct.
On the flip side, there's limited resources available here in Providence. Yeah, there's some pools and there's some kind of sprinkler systems you can run through, but realistically, there's a lack of facilities. Let's talk about that on the community cafe side. You know, as you see this need, this ever-growing need for role models and for activities that are not just random, you know, that aren't just miscellaneous, you know, not, you know, I guess you could become a professional gamer or whatever, but for the most part, if you're working in Photoshop, like you say, you know, you can now, there's an entertainment aspect to that, but there's also possibly a career aspect to that.
Sure. Well, I want to go back to what you were talking about earlier about space. The community cafe really is first and foremost a space for the community to come together and just be together and hang out, have something to drink, talk to each other, communicate, come up with community programs to help each other. And talking about the youth, we want to have a space that's for them, by them, and we're just giving the space over, and we already have people doing dance class where they are teaching hip-hop class to younger kids, and we have somebody that's going to be doing poetry classes, these are all arts that are missing from the schools because of budgetary reasons or what have you, so we're just giving people the opportunity to make things happen for themselves. Without this small little cafe, there's really no place for people to have for themselves.
Right. Claim ownership in their city.
Exactly.
You know, like you say, put it back together. How much is the Providence public school system? And look, this isn't a new issue. We've been talking about this on this podcast forever here now.
Yeah.
Well, not forever, for the last several months. My whole life that's been there, though. You know, 35, you know, I grew up in South County. You know what I mean? There's always been issues in different school systems, certainly in Providence.
I went to Hope High School, graduated from Hope, you know, so some of the same things that the students are experiencing now is no different from when I graduated in 2006, you know, and as I talked to other people that went to Hope, you know, a little earlier, some of the same issues as well. So, you know, it's how do we change the landscape and how do we as a community wrap our arms around the school system and say, you know, we're here to support the schools. We're here to support you, superintendent. We're here to support the mayor. You know, how can we really wrap our arms around and help change? I think that's what it takes. You know, we can't always rely on government, on the school committee to do the work. We also have to do the work ourselves. And if part of that is now open up our centers to have tutoring programs to help combat some of the issues that the school system is experiencing, you know, that's what we have to do. If we're here to serve, and part of that serving is realizing that there's an issue, but we also have to find a solution. And I think this is where the community center, such as what Joelle and I have, you know, in order to promote, in order to provide resource, access, services to change the quality of life for our community, you know. So that's one of our number one goals. And as I speak of it, you know, that's something else that we're looking to do, is also develop a sustainable tutoring program that we're able to go in and connect with teachers, where we can send homework, where teachers are sending homework and the students are coming in and being able to do it and not saying, oh, I don't have homework, you know. So right. building that relationship between schools and community centers is important.
Yeah, building that pipeline, whether it's digital, you know, whatever it is, just and the trust. And that obviously is something I know you're working on as
right,
well.
Right. So. Well, right now we don't have our after school program running, but we're looking to do it. It's basically connecting with the local community to have the folks that want to make that happen come in and make it happen. I need volunteers, and that's one thing that I'll be talking a lot about is volunteerism, because part of the center of having a community center is bringing people together so that they can give into the community and so they can get back. And so that's one way that we're going to be doing is with the after school program, is having parents come in and do chaperoning and helping, you know, facilitate that program.
There's a lot of, you know, just today, even before we were taping, we were talking about there's a Facebook poll up, you know, on a news organization's page. Do you feel safe going to Providence Play Small? You know, this kind of nonsense. Look, that's garbage. We know that. I think most thinking people know that. Providence is a relatively safe city. There are major problem areas. But in general, it's a safe city. How much do your organizations work to just combat perception from within? You know, is that something you don't even care about? You just pay no mind to it. The idea that there's this notion that Providence is this, you know, on the verge of fiscal collapse, and it's this dangerous location, which
right.
is totally nonsense. Well, at least the latter is nonsense.
Right. Right. Well, that is. It's. I don't really pay mind to that. But for me, what the community center is it's a space for the community, but it's also a space for people outside of the community to give where they feel like there's a lack. If they feel like there's problems in the city so much, if you live outside of the city, I encourage you to check us out and to donate or get involved through volunteering so that you can, you know, lessen your fear of the city and to understand that people that live here are just like you and we just trying to get by. And the violence that you see happens in your neighborhood as well. You just don't, you're not talking about it maybe the same way as you would because it's not from the city. I don't know.
I think just to add to that, any big city you have, there's always going to be a perception that that things are much more violent within the city. It's much more people, it's much more vibrant. I think one of the biggest things, as Joel was alluding to, you have to be able to dispel that notion, you know, that violence is happening. Anywhere you go is going to take place. You know, going to Providence Play Small, you know, it's any given day of time, you know, for some people. But, you know, it's also the reality that, hey, if you're going to go somewhere, go with open heart and go to enjoy the environment. Providence is a beautiful city. I like it because there's so many ethnic groups, so many cultures. Anywhere you can go, any around any corner you get, from Italian food to Thai food, you know, to South to East African food.
Yeah, Broad,
you know,
Street now, I mean, just in the last 5 years really has become this new I mean, it's always been a Mecca, but it's now this vibrant Mecca. Yep. And why isn't anyone talking about that?
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if for real, you know, it's not just some people would probably say, oh, you're a social justice warrior, you know, what are you doing? Like, and seriously, I get this back from certain people, but, you know, I just think it's idiotic, you know, and it's groups like yours and it's centers like yours that keep the, you know, keep the wheels turning in the right direction in spite of, you know, all the resistance that you have from the fiscal problems within the city and from, you know, this attitude that the, a lot of the state kind of drops on you. Well, let's speak about like the artistic sport-based components of your programs.
Absolutely. I mean, the biggest reason why that we're doing these after-school programs and art and sports programs is to get kids out of the house. There's so many kids that are shut in. As I was as a kid, I was a latchkey kid, and then I was, you know, basically raised by TV. But the thing is that with today's kids, it's the phones, it's the devices. And as adults, you know, we have our issues with them as well. But the point being is that getting them outside of the house and, with the sports, a lot of kids that are prone to doing sports will be out doing them anyways. But when it comes to the arts, a lot of those kids are just sitting in the house, like I said, and they don't have an opportunity to draw or to paint because they don't have resources to get the paint. So that's why the importance of having these classes for them and to get real experience from a teacher that's helping them grow in their abilities.
Well, for me, you know, where I'm from is generally three ways out of the what we call the hood or community. One is either being a basketball star, being a rapper, or making it to jail. You know, and either which one you can choose, which one you want to, but one is much more formidable than the other. You know, so when you look at having kids and open up a facility for the youth to come in, it's helping for them being able to grow, to develop that their emotional side, and I mean their psychological and physical well-being. You know, and just the kids that if they're not there, what else are they going to be doing? Might be on the street or just getting inside some type of miscellaneous activities. You know, when you look out, I believe between the times of 3 and 7 is like the most times where crime takes place. So when you're looking at it from the youth perspective, that's not a really a good time to be out with no direction, with no structure. You know, so that's what sports, that's what arts does. It provides structure, it provides a direction, it provides a passion. You know, so with our programs, not only are we looking to now not only entice that interest or build that passion or that interest, but now we also want you to understand that whatever you have a purpose for, whatever your passion or your hobby is, you can take that and make it an entrepreneurship. You can make it a career, you know. So we also want to teach our youth how to be self-sufficient, you know, how to be able to take their passion and grow the dollars from it, you know, because you can do that in any avenue, but if you can do it the right way, then you can live the right way. You know, so when we talk about the DJ classes or Photoshop, you know, or taking videography and photography, or being a part of a volunteering or part of our basketball clinic, we also want you to understand that, hey, you may want to be a basketball star, but understand there's 1,000 other jobs that you can do within the realm of basketball. You know, you may want to be a rapper, but guess what? There's 200 other jobs that you can do within the studio. And you can still just be just as rich. I mean, maybe not as famous, depending on where you go.
You may have a better life, depending on who you ask.
Exactly.
Honestly,
you know, so you know, so when you think about it like that, it's the big picture, being able to really affect it and benefit and build the holistic nature of the human being.
Outstanding stuff. I really want to ask each of you about your relationships with the city and the state as far as the officials. We've got a new education commissioner, a mayor that, you know, tries to embrace all the neighborhoods of the city, all the different communities. Have you had any kind of relationship or interactions with either of them or any other, you know, city council members, anyone like that? Have they taken an interest in this process or in your work through the kind of the school transformation / takeover process?
And I'll say, you know, because I'm starting in this role as the new executive director at John Hope Settlement House, a lot of the conversation I've had most recently is more so shaping about what John Hope needs to do, what it needs to be, how to change it and set the right track forward. But I did have an interesting conversation with Dr. Montague, which was also my former principal, and just talked about really building a solid and sound tutoring program. Yeah. You know, when you look at and you read the report, you know, from Providence, you know, really being able to develop a program that we can house at John Hope that once again, that'd be able to not only affect the student, but also the families. You know, I think it's important, anything that you have to do, because the family, the parents also have to be just as competent as the student, you know, and it has to be just as engaged as a student inside the education to help move everything forward. Other than that, with all the conversations I had, I've gotten multiple support. Just really want to see John Hope come back inside the community, be a staple once again, and being able to benefit the community at large.
On the community cafe side, any interactions with state or local officials at all? Any positive or negative
experiences? Yeah, definitely. I have to give a shout out to my reps. Rep Marcia Ranglin Vassell and Rep Maura Walsh, they've both been very helpful and come by the cafe and lend their support. In January, we're going to have a open house fundraiser through Maura Walsh, so that's exciting. But I just wanted to give a shout out to the John Hope Settlement House, because I'm involved and I'm going to get more involved with them, because I don't see any other community space in Providence as being as important as the John Hope Settlement House, because they've had issues in the past with being taken over, and this is a huge facility with a great leader in Branford Davis, and it needs as much support from the community, all of Rhode Island, as possible to help help the community. And so I really hope that anybody out there listening, please check out the John Hope Settlement House and lend them their support as much as you can, and also check out my website too, which is the www.communitycafepvd.org. But that's about what I have to say.
There's an appetite for Rhode Islanders to get involved. And I had Jim Hummel on here the other day for something, and you know, we were having a totally unrelated topic, but he pointed out, you know, Rhode Island's a city state. You know, there's the saying, as Providence goes, so too does the rest of the state, whatever. But the reality is, you know, our state is essentially the size of a city and it functions like that. So this notion that people can turn their backs on the urban core, if you live in, I don't know, South Kingstown or whatever, that, you know, one, it's obviously morally wrong, but two, it's now becoming practically wrong. The state can't function as a whole if we approach it that way. So it seems like your organizations are great pipelines for people to get involved. Like you're saying, you need referees, you know, or educators or tutors or whatever it is. That's like a practical way where a person can just boom, right out of the gate through whatever training, make an impact. Is that a fair statement?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More absolutely. So than anywhere else that I can think of, right?
Right. I think, and I agree with you, because when you look at a community center, there's so much to do. You know, everything from just landscaping or groundskeeping, you know, because we also have our early learning center, so you have elderly or people that are just interested in working with children can come and volunteer. You know, you look at our before after school program, helping kids with homework, helping kids playing a kickball game, playing soccer, teaching kids arts and crafts, you know, bringing back woodworking, wood shop, you know, so there's so much. Even when you look at volunteering people, if you want to get interested, if you want to get involved, come down to John Hope Settlement House, come to Community Cafe PVD. You know, we're in need for the help. You know, the more support through your volunteerism, the more support through your help, the better that we're going to be able to reach each and every child and family that we work with. You know, your expertise that you've had, your professionalism is needed in our facility. You know, as a nonprofit organization already, we're already somewhat bootstrapped, you know, trying to do so much with so little people. So the much help and the more help that we can receive is the much better. Everything's just going to work.
Right. It's an opportunity to come into the city that you might not know about and to volunteer. But I also encourage people, if you live outside of the city, to volunteer where you're at, close to where you are, and give to your communities, because we all need it wherever we live. And, you know, that's about it.
Write me anytime, bill@ripodcast.com. Follow me on Twitter @BillBartholomew. And for daily content, head over to Instagram @BartholomewTownPodcast. New episodes every Tuesday and Friday. I look forward to when we meet again soon. Until then, I'm Bill Bartholomew. We'll talk soon.
At HealthSource RI for Employers, we provide access to health insurance to more than 1,100 local businesses and nonprofits, and 96% of them renew through us every year. Maybe it's our choice of 19 different health plans, our 10 years of customizing solutions, or our one local team of dedicated experts helping employers find quality health insurance. see how our numbers stack up for you. Learn more at healthsourceri.com/employers.